السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawz, Tasmiyah, and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, may Allah be his helper, said, By the grace of Allah, the Canada Jamaat hosted their Jalsa Salana last week, and by God's bounties, it came to its conclusion. No matter how much we thank God Almighty for this, it will be insufficient. It is the grace of God Almighty alone that despite our limited resources, we managed to hold jalsas throughout the world. Through His special blessings, and only through His blessings, do we manage to organize the jalsa to a high standard. We do not have professional workers in each department working to improve the standards of the various functions. Instead, they are volunteers from among the Khuddam, Atfal, Ansar, Lajna and also the Nasirat. The department heads are chosen from among them, as well as those working under them are assigned. On occasions, it may well be that an individual who is less educated, in worldly terms, is assigned as the leader, and irrespective of the fact if someone is a doctor, engineer, or has a PhD, they obey him. They have no concern whether their education or status exceeds the other. We witness this level of obedience within Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and as a result, they cooperate with each other in all aspects. Not only do they cooperate, in fact, as I mentioned before, they obey them and in complete obedience they carry out their duties and responsibilities. In these 3 days, it seems as though every worldly thought has vanished from the minds of all those carrying out their duties. The majority only have the jalsa in mind, and work selflessly, or at least this goes through the minds of all those who present themselves for work. Thus, to align the thinking of so many people and to work selflessly and with humility cannot be the work of any human. This is only down to the grace of Allah. Had it not been for the grace of Allah, then the enthusiasm with which the youth, elderly, men and women work would never be engendered. It is only God that can place this passion in the heart of every worker, that they must serve the guests of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, putting every thought and desire aside and present themselves for work. And with the aim to do this solely for the sake of Allah and serving the guests of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Thus, first of all, we must render thanks to God Almighty that He has granted the Jamaat people who are ready to serve, who despite being well educated, upon being ordered to clean the toilets, they will do so. If it is preparing the meals, then they will work there. If it is to distribute the food, they will do that. Whether they are asked to do security duty, parking duty, or to work in any other department, they do so selflessly, as I have mentioned. Children carry out their duties with great passion and enthusiasm. When the children hand out water to the guests inside the Jalsagar, the event hall, in complete silence and eagerness, the external guests cannot help but be amazed. Owing to their astonishment, they inquire as to how we manage to instill such passion in them to serve. In the world today, Muslim children and youths attending the madrasas, the religious schools, belonging to certain religious orders, are taught to carry out wicked acts and are given barbaric training all in the name of jihad. Human lives are being lost due to their brutality, and there is an attempt to ruin lives. On the other hand, the youth of the Ahmadiyya community are working to preserve life. Whilst the gatherings that provide spiritual sustenance and spiritual water are organized, the young children, both boys and girls, prepare the provisions for physical sustenance and physical water to be distributed. They partake in the true jihad, which does not take life, instead grants life. Consequently, many people acknowledge this fact, that when the young children provide water with such passion and zeal, one cannot help but to feel overwhelming affection for them. Thus, as we render thanks to God Almighty for all of this, at the same time, all the participants of the Jalsa and all those who sat listening to the proceedings should also be thankful to all the workers, many of whom have been working since before the Jalsa to ensure the arrangements are made. Likewise, they will stay behind for the wind-up. They have no concern for any loss to their jobs, nor do they worry for any loss in their wealth. Some who met me said that they requested leave from their work in order to perform their duties at the Jalsa, and if they were not granted it, they resigned from their workplace. These people do not worry about their own sleep or comfort. They have one concern, and one concern only, which is to serve and try to the best of their abilities to ensure the organization of the Jalsa is to the best standard. Thus, as I instructed all the participants of the Jalsa, I would firstly like to thank personally all the workers, the children, guests, the young girls and boys, men and women who volunteered themselves and performed even the smallest of jobs with great passion and completed it with a great sense of responsibility. This in actuality is a hidden form of tabligh, spreading the message. On the outside, it seems as though these workers are carrying out their duty, but in actual fact, it becomes a source of tabligh for the external guests and can be the source of guidance for many. In this regard, a non-Ahmadi guest by the name of Shahidur Rahman, who is of Bangladeshi origin, traveled from USA with some Ahmadi friends of his. He stated that he spent all his life arguing with the mullahs, the religious clerics, and the Islam that was presented before him kept him away from the Sunni mosques. He detests extremism. His wife is a pious woman. She urged him to attend the Jalsa of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. Consequently, he attended the Jalsa with his friends. Approximately 91 Bangladeshi Ahmadis traveled from USA. On seeing the moral training, love and respect of the members of the community, he said that alongside attending the Jalsa, I have also turned back to Islam. On the last day of Jalsa, he sat alone on a chair, and due to the vast congregation, he did not wish to go and get food, owing to the large crowd. In the meantime, a khadim, a youth, came and brought him food and drink, then waited for him to finish the food so he could dispose of the food box. He was so moved by this event that he mentioned to me in a personal meeting that the Jalsa has left a deep impact on him, and inshallah, God willing, he will very soon enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Therefore, in this manner, the tabligh, spreading the message, can also be carried out due to the Jalsa. Also, the outstanding etiquettes and small assistance of the youth changed his whole perception and thought process. Perhaps this worker did not even know if he was an Ahmadi or a non-Ahmadi. All he did was carry out his duty, governed by his enthusiasm. However, this became the source of spiritual transformation for an eternal guest. In the same manner, there were many politicians as well as the local residents, many of whom are aware of the services rendered by the Jamaat and often acknowledge this fact. Each year the Jalsa has a different impact on them as to how people in such large numbers can sit so calmly and the workers carry out their duties without causing any commotion. Deb Schulte, who is a member of parliament for the area of Vaughan, said, "Today, as always, I am greatly moved by the Jalsa. So many volunteers can be seen who ensure the Jalsa takes place in an orderly manner." He then writes, In my opinion, there are over 25,000 people gathered here today. And for the Jalsa to continue in an organized manner is down to the tireless efforts of the volunteers. Thus, all the volunteers leave a lasting impression, and therefore, we must be grateful to all the workers. On the one hand, they work selflessly to serve the guests, while at the same time, they become silent missionaries, spreading the message of Ahmadiyyat. As mentioned before, we must be grateful to all those involved. May God Almighty always increase the passion and enthusiasm of the workers and grant them a reward for their efforts. May their services not remain physical ones alone. Instead, may they increase in their faith and belief, and may their actions always be of the highest standards, which reflect the Islamic teachings. All the participants, as well as all those living in Canada, should also be grateful to the MTA workers. At the same time, all Ahmadis living around the world should be grateful to them. Many workers were local volunteers from Canada. Some were professionals, and some came from the centre in London. All of them worked with great efforts to show the live broadcast for the 3 days of Jalsa. As I mentioned, wherever I go, a team from London usually travels as well. The central MTA team brought a dish with them for the video uplink, instead of hiring one from here. This was of great benefit to us, and we operated with more freedom with respect to time, because when we hire one externally, we are bound by their timings. If we go over that time, we have to pay extra. In this regard, overall, we managed to save $10,000-$15,000. Thus, regardless of whichever capacity each worker fulfilled their duty in, the members of the Jamaat must be thankful to them. Similarly, the workers should also be thankful to God Almighty that He granted them the opportunity to carry out their duty. God Almighty states, "If you are grateful, I will increase you in your abilities and your capacities and bestow more favors upon you." When God Almighty states, "Azidannakum," meaning, "I will bestow more favors on you," He does not place any restrictions on this. When God Almighty bestows something, He grants abundantly and in every manner. Therefore, it is the practice of a believer that on every success and every good event, he is grateful to God Almighty. Wherever any shortcomings are witnessed, they should seek mercy from God Almighty and offer istighfar, to repent for one's sins. In an event of such a large scale, there tend to be some shortcomings. However, the guests overlooked those shortcomings and overall praised everything. For this, all the workers should be thankful to all the internal and external guests. For example, since shortcomings have been mentioned, during the first day of Jalsa, the hospitality department did not estimate the number of guests accurately, even though I was informed that they were expecting and preparing food for 22,000 people. Food for 20,000 people was prepared. According to that department's estimate, almost 2,000 people did not receive food. For this, they apologized. The guests, on the other hand, came with the intention to listen to the Jalsa. If on that day or the next day there was a shortage of food, some of the guests accepted this happily, without any complaints. In fact, some became the source of reformation for others. One gentleman wrote to me and said there was a long queue for the food. After waiting for a while, he was told that the food has finished and will arrive shortly. Later, he was informed that the food has in fact finished, and there would not be any more available. He writes, I was infuriated with the organization. In my state of anger, the gentleman in front of me remarked, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, the food has finished. I inquired from him, what does he mean by that? He said, I have a few pieces of bread with me. Come, let us dip it in water and eat it. Had we received the food, we would not be able to act upon this sunnah, the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Therefore, today we have the opportunity to fulfill this sunnah. The narrator of the incident has written to me stating, Upon witnessing this, not only did my anger subside, but I was ashamed why I was angry in the first place. I became overcome with emotions on seeing the type of people God Almighty has bestowed to the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The administration should also be grateful to the guests for displaying such high standards of manners and etiquettes. On this occasion, a positive aspect of the administration came to light, in that instead of concealing their mistakes, they analyzed their mistakes and highlighted them clearly. However, this alone is not enough. The administration should note all of these down in their red book and ensure for better arrangements in the future. Alongside this, I would also like to mention that this site seems to only cater for 18, 19 or 20,000 people and not more than this. By the grace of Allah, the Jamaat is expanding. Therefore, the administration and the Jamaat here should start to think about obtaining a larger site, or at least for the time when they wish to invite me to the Jalsa. Nonetheless, this site is now inadequate. Therefore, you must ponder over this. I will mention those shortcomings which the administration have acknowledged themselves. I received some complaints already, therefore they are correct. If there are others aside from these, then the people should write directly to the administration so that better arrangements can be made. The first aspect written was that there was a shortfall in the standard of food for the Arab guests, as it was very spicy and not according to what the Arabs eat. This should be addressed. Then the shortage of food was mentioned, about which I explained earlier. Also, the food arrived to the men's side 1 hour late. Firstly, the food is prepared here and then transported 30 kilometers to the Jalsa site. Then the truck carrying the food went into the ladies' area instead of the men's side, resulting in the men having to face this difficulty. If the men have to face this difficulty, it is acceptable. However, women and children should not be left hungry. It worked out better that the truck went there instead. The administration say that there was a shortage in workers preparing the food. To overcome this shortage is the responsibility of the Jamaat. There is no shortage of workers in the Jamaat. The administration must understand that they should choose those workers who are passionate about helping, and not to choose only those they like. This concept also needs to change. By the grace of Allah, there are plenty of people in the Jamaat who have a passion to serve and help. Then, some people complained that there were long queues to use the washrooms inside the Jalsagar, the main event hall, and the administration also felt this was the case. In fact, Some complaints I received mentioned that not only did they have to wait long, but some were ill and faced great difficulty. I asked specifically regarding this just one day earlier, whether or not the adequate measures were put in place. According to the information I received, I believe suitable arrangements were not made. Now, for the future, if there is not a permanent solution, then temporary arrangements should be made. There were no audio-video facilities in the langarkhana, the food halls. This is a mistake on the part of the administration, as this is a very important aspect. There should be arrangements for those workers who are unable to listen to the jalsa proceedings. Similarly, it is said that the sound was not clear towards the back of the hall. However, during my addresses, I was informed that there was improvement in the sound quality. If this information is incorrect, then those sitting towards the back should inform me, because in my view, initially the sound was not clear, and as a result, some of our workers attempted to make it better. Similarly, there was a provision for the Arabs to listen to the translation, but they were not informed about this. Some Arabs who met me said they were unable to listen to the sermon on the first day, and were informed the following day. Whereas, the administration should now be experienced enough to know they must make regular announcements explaining the various languages for which translations are available. Also, where they can obtain the translation equipment. It should also be written on the board and displayed near the entrance. Now I will mention the remarks of some of the guests and newspaper reports. These again turn our attention towards the concept of gratitude. This shows how Allah the Exalted turns people's hearts towards us. Our efforts that lead to such excellent results are almost negligible. Firstly, I will mention the reactions of some Syrian Ahmadis. This was the first time they had an opportunity to attend such a large gatherings and practice their faith with total freedom. In their own countries, there are restrictions in place. Even when the situation was not as bad as it is today, they had no freedom. With the worsening conditions there, these Syrians have been suffering miserably for many years. One Ahmadi friend, Ahmad Darvish Sahib, says, "This was the first time in my life that I attended a Jalsa. When I entered the Jalsa Gah and noticed the presence of the Khalifa of the time, this made me feel as if I have entered the fold of Islam today." He then says, "The biggest change that has happened in my life is that my prayers have become full of commitment, dedication and humility. This is the change that should be seen in every Ahmadi after Jalsa, not just for a few days, but forever." He says that I brought a Canadian guest with me called Mrs. Simpson, who attended with his wife. Previously he was a Christian, but is now an atheist. After attending the Jalsa, he said, "In all my life, I have never heard such a truthful and sincere discourse about love, brotherhood, peace and security. I am pleased to learn about these aspects of Islam. May this pleasure become the reason in turning his heart." Similarly, a Syrian Ahmadi, Al-Hajj Abdullah Sahib, says, "The 3 days of Jalsa were such that for the rest of my life I will never forget them. Thousands of members of the greatest Jamaat in the world gathered in Canada with outstanding organization." He says that the organization of the Jalsa, the abundance of everything, to facilitate the reception and arrangements, even taking into consideration the playfulness of children, was extraordinary. The atmosphere of Jalsa was full of feelings of love and brotherhood. It is extraordinary in itself to invite thousands of people to arrange for their transport and catering. Then he continues by saying that the speeches and their translations were good, and the department responsible for translations was excellent. He says that he invited a team of journalists and a Muslim family to attend the Jalsa. They were astonished to see the excellent organization of the Jalsa. They particularly liked my concluding address, and they found it amazing to see so much love and dedication the Ahmadis have for their Imam. Similarly, Abdul Qadir Sahib says, "For the first time I was able to appreciate how much effort goes into the organization of Jalsa. The workers work within their departments like honeybees, without making any noise or creating any disturbance. Everyone desired the opportunity to serve. Especially when the workers realized that I was of Arab ethnicity, they treated me exceptionally well." Then a lady, Mustafa Saiba, says, "Despite the numbers and size, the Jalsa was very well organized and structured. I experienced firsthand the spirituality that was evident on people's faces. May Allah the Exalted make this spirituality everlasting. We are grateful to all those people who took part in making this Jalsa a success, from those delivering speeches and translating them, to all those who were performing other tasks. With the grace of Allah, we have excelled in our spirituality." Then Salma Jabuli Sahiba states, "By witnessing the organization and discipline of the Jalsa, it can be said that this community is united like a body and functions with mutual collaboration. We are in debt to the Department of Transport, who made excellent arrangements for us to travel to Jalsa and back to our home. In Jalsa, people from all different nations and different ethnicities were working for one common goal, that is to take the message of peace and Islam to the world." Hussein Abedin Sahib says, "The time spent at Jalsa was the best time of my life. I used to watch Jalsa on TV and would pray, 'O God, please enable me to attend a Jalsa with the Khalifa of the time.' I could not even imagine that my prayers would be accepted so soon, and God Almighty will grant me more than which I had asked for." During the Jalsa Salana, I was sitting in front of the stage and visualized before my eyes the difficulties and hardships of the days before. I faced extreme hardship in Syria and Turkey. This filled my heart with the praise of Allah the Exalted. This made me say to myself, "I faced all those terrible days, and now how times have changed. I am sitting before the Khalifa of the time. These are all blessings of God Almighty." A Syrian friend by the name Faraz Sahib writes, "It was the first time that I attended the Jalsa. I was petrified to see so many people. And then these people were not all from Canada." Perhaps the word petrified was used by the translator, or he may have actually used this word. In my opinion, he has mentioned all this in the words emanating love. These people were not just from Canada, but came from different parts of the world. Then these people did not belong to just one nation, they belonged to several nations and different ethnicities. During the Jalsa, the use of new technology, excellent organization, the readiness of the Jalsa participants to follow the directions of the organizers, and the display of obedience was most faith-inspiring. What pleased me the most was the attendance of Khalifatul Masih for all 3 days, and his addresses that I benefited from on all 3 days. Nonetheless, these are the expressions of some Ahmadis that I narrated. These were established Ahmadis, as well as new converts, who have emigrated from Syria because of the conditions there. Now I will read out some of the reactions of the non-Ahmadis. Through these means, our community gains recognition, and new avenues of preaching begin to open. A German consulate was visiting Canada, and he came to see me. He said that he arrived 4 weeks ago and was not familiar with this community. He had been living in different countries. He said, that before this day, I had never heard a more comprehensive address about the teachings of Islam. He attended my concluding address. He said that your vision is very positive. Then regarding me, he said that the true Islam presented teaches peace, justice, and love. Every word was truth manifest. I wish that the world media give as much time to this ambassador of peace as it gives to Baghdadi of Iraq and the propaganda of ISIS. This will lead to real peace in the world. He goes on to say that every sentence of the Khalifa was based on the truth and carried an anguish for the establishment of peace in this world. Then he says, I will extend this message to wherever it is possible for me. So with the grace of Allah, even others become our ambassadors. A member of parliament, Miss Judy Saiba, who is well known to the local people, said that in these circumstances, your Khalifa has assigned a task to you, that is to take the message of love for all, hatred for none, to the whole world. Above that, he has also instructed that Muslims as well as non-Muslims should establish connections based on love and always act with fairness and justice. This is because if these practices are not adopted, then it will lead to the Third World War. This is quite evident now. Both ordinary public and politicians will have to work together on this so that they can establish peace and security in this world. She says that every Muslim and non-Muslim amongst us should take this message forward so that people understand that the actions of the extremists have nothing to do with Islam. Extremists are using the name of Islam to attain their personal objectives and bringing other Muslims into disrepute. There was a guest belonging to the Church of the Seventh-day Adventists. He said, I am very pleased to hear that Khalifat al-Masih focused on the issue of peace and security in his concluding address. It is now mandatory that people become familiar with the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. People must realize the services offered by this community. People should know that Muslims are not those individuals portrayed by the media. The true teachings of Islam are based on peace. A mayor from Belize also attended the Jalsa. He has also visited the UK. He says, the Khalifa's address left a deep impact on me, and the way he addressed the matters on international importance demonstrate to me that the Khalifat al-Masih is not here just to guide Ahmadis, but also the whole world. I will never be able to forget the matters addressed in the speech of Khalifat al-Masih. One guest, who is also the local mayor here, gives this message to the community that this is an occasion of a special message, that we must improve in our spirituality and treat all human beings with kindness. This is the message we receive today. We should do so irrespective of the other person's religious orientation. We should always remember that your Khalifa has taught us to establish peace on earth. Therefore, it is the responsibility of all of us that we play our role to attain this objective. One guest who visited from Brampton says, there was one clear message that I gained from this Jalsa, and that was to establish peace. Then another guest says, I heard the concluding address and found it amazing. I do not have words to express my true sentiments. Then a female MP, Miss Yasmin Ritansi Saiba, says, I was particularly impressed by the address of the Khalifa to the women. In particular, the point that a mother is the foundation for the whole family and brings about strength in the society. Another lady, Marilyn, said, This was my 9th Jalsa. I was eager to listen to the address of the Khalifa and had been waiting for this. Then she says, I saw that everyone treated each other with respect and people understood the importance of Jalsa. The system of security was good and the sound system also worked well. The quality of the video monitors were good and I was pleased to see the headsets for translations. Because without these, the purpose of attending Jalsa would not be fulfilled. Without these, I would not have been able to listen to the addresses of the Imams of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. She says, As always, you are all very respectful towards your guests and treat them with great reverence, even though we may not deserve such respect. We are very grateful for this and express our gratitude. To see thousands of Ahmadis committed to peace and love had a great impact on me. And this was the exact opposite of the negative image portrayed by Europe and the Arab world. I felt reassured to see the unity amongst the participants of Jalsa. By the grace of Allah, all the guests who attend Jalsa Salana form a positive image of it. Some of the guests coming from foreign countries, I have mentioned a few of those earlier, have left with a very positive impression. Especially when people from Central and South America attend our Jalsas and witness the atmosphere, their misgivings about Islam are corrected. As our missions in these countries have only recently been established, with relatively new Jamaat organizations and members who have joined the Jamaat over the last 1, 2, or 3 years, we do face some challenges. Attendance of our Jalsas by some of the high officials from these countries, who witness our true character, results in their cooperation and facilitation of our work in these countries. Most of the aforementioned do go to our UK Jalsa, but some were present here as well. Thus, the Jalsa paves the way for propagating our message. Therefore, while this Jalsa is a source for enhancing our own spiritual state, it also leads to Jamaat's wider introduction and helps establish contacts with external people. Islam's true picture is presented before the world. Over the recent years, owing to the state of Muslims and consequently the state of the world, the media's attention has been focused on the Muslims. First and foremost, it is Allah's grace that He has turned those people's attention towards Jamaat Ahmadiyya of those who previously would not even respond to our invitations. But our youth have also played a big role in this. They have established contacts within the media at a very grand scale. Jamaat media teams of Canada, the majority of whom are youngsters, have worked very hard to widen their contacts within the media. I was not aware that our youth are so active in fulfilling this role. Mm-hmm. It was only after I arrived here that I saw the hard work put in by these youngsters through the grace of Allah. I have witnessed many of these youths working in this regard. This is also a way of tabligh, which our youngsters are carrying out through the press. They are very keen and have made connections with large newspapers and TV channels. Some TV channels showed a good response, while others were not interested at all in religion and refused to show any coverage of our Jalsa or the visit of the Khalifa. This attitude caused disappointment among some of the young men. But at the same time, Allah the Exalted also shows signs that lead to the strengthening of faith. For example, a newspaper or a TV channel did not show any interest when it was first approached. A Syrian Ahmadi says he brought a team of journalists to cover the Jalsa in order to highlight the true teachings of Islam. As I mentioned, God Almighty devised His own plan. As it turns out, it was perhaps the same team of journalists who had initially refused to attend. Their channel was producing a documentary about the Syrian refugees. And when they started searching for them, by chance, rather I would say by the will of Allah, all the Syrian refugees they encountered were Ahmadi. They informed them about the Jalsa and said if they wanted to meet, they should come to the Jalsa where they could meet and discuss everything. Thus, the media outlet that had previously refused to cover the Jalsa were forced to attend. So, Allah the Almighty is introducing the Jamaat on a large scale, one way or another. Media has an important role in today's world, and Jamaat Ahmadiyya is being introduced through it far and wide. To those Ahmadis who are volunteering for establishing media contacts, I would say that they should work even harder and with more and ever-increasing humility. Always remember that it is the grace of Allah through which you are able to achieve this, and should always strive to beseech that grace. Some members of the media from newspapers, radio and TV channels attended the Jalsa proceedings on Friday, which was the first day of Jalsa. I held a small press conference or an interview which was well covered. Jamaat was introduced and true teachings of Islam were highlighted. I relayed to them the message of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. I always try that whatever the subject, whether it is the current affairs or anything else, to connect it to the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the advent of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, so they become aware of the true Islam. In any case, the summary of media coverage is that the three largest newspapers of Canada, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, and the National Post, have covered our Jalsa extensively. According to their estimate, the news was carried to 3.9 million people. In addition to the three largest newspapers, this news was also carried to 500,000 people through other newspapers, which total more than 25. Additionally, the message was carried to 300,000 people through other newspapers, 8 of which were in the Urdu language, 10 in Punjabi, and 3 each of Spanish, Arabic and Bengali languages. It was also carried by the largest radio station, 680 News, which has an audience of 2.5 million. The news was also carried to an estimated 2 million people through social media, including Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Periscope. Then the news of the Jalsa was also telecast by over 16 mainstream TV channels, including CTV, Global TV, CTTCV, Rogers TV, and CBC, with a viewership of 2.5 million people. Various Urdu, Punjabi, Bengali, Arabic, Ghanaian, and other language TV channels carried the news to 100,000 people. Overall, the message was delivered to an estimated 6.6 million people through the TV, 2.8 million through newspapers, 3.5 million through radio, and 2.8 million through social media. In total, according to this report, the introduction and message of the Jamaat was carried to 16 million people. If we make a conservative estimate, at least 10 million people were introduced to the Jamaat and its teachings in the context of this Jalsa. Whatever news coverage I have seen or heard over the media, they have been quite honest in their coverage about the Jamaat, Jalsa, and our teachings. This is the work of God Almighty, which He is carrying out, and the Jamaat is being introduced on a large scale. But it is also a reminder for us not to be content with these achievements alone. We must enhance our spiritual state and improve our relationship with Allah. We must believe to be evil whatever Allah has declared evil, and follow all that He commands us to do. If we are given an opportunity to serve His cause, we should consider that a blessing for us. All office bearers and those engaged in Jamaat service should endeavor to fulfill their responsibility in a righteous manner. All those who attended the Jalsa and listened to the proceedings should reflect if they are still following what they heard at Jalsa and whether they are trying to adopt those good things in their daily lives. They should also plan to make these noble things part of their lives and to endeavor that their gratitude to Allah, the Almighty, is permanent and not temporary. Always bear this in mind. These are the things that attract God's ever-increasing grace. May Allah enable all Ahmadis to act on these teachings, which are in fact those that can lead one to God and to establish a connection with Him. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ